verse 8. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I want to preach on that phrase in verse 11, the title, Joy in God. Tonight we celebrate, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as always, we must remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the source and the substance of our joy in God. We look to Jesus Christ and His shed blood as the only way that we can have access to God, that we can be forgiven of our sins by God. So it is significant that it says in verse 11 that we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the essence of where real joy is found. It's found in the work of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, I think it's important at times that we learn to contrast our former condition as we think about where we are right now. And at one time, I was without any joy. The fruit of the Spirit was not operating in me. I had no knowledge of the true and living God. I had no appreciation for the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when I saw Him and heard of Him, it didn't affect me one way or the other. The reason why is I was dead in trespasses and in sins. Verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This is the condition that I was once in. Entirely unresponsive, unable to even respond to the glories, the beauty, the wonders of the cross of Jesus Christ, of His blood shedding, of His resurrection. There was no beauty that I would desire Him. I was dead. I was alienated from the life of God. And so were you. This was our condition of corruption. We were a stench in the nostrils of God, without any hope, without any joy. We were without strength, it says in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I was without any ability to appreciate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I could not read. I could not understand the Word of the living God. I didn't see His glory. I didn't see His honor. I had no appreciation for Jesus Christ. I was without strength, without ability, without understanding, without knowledge. And it says that not only was I dead and without strength, But I was so unlike God in my mind and in my works that he described me as ungodly. Christ died for somebody like me who was completely unlike the Lord Jesus, unlike God, in my sins, deserving only of eternity in the lake of fire. I was repulsive in the eyes of God because of my condition, because of who I was. Ungodly. He calls us sinners in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yea, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what a sinner is? It's someone who transgresses against God's law, who defies his government, who rebels against his commands and his person, who is an enemy, as we're described there in verse 10. For if when we were enemies. So what amazes me is the condition that I was once in. God knew every bit of it. He knew my life from top to bottom. He knew before the foundation of the world that I would be without strength, ungodly, dead in trespasses and in sins, his enemy, a rebel, a defiant of the government of God. That's how God knew I was going to be. And in spite of all that, he loved me. He didn't give me what I deserved. And if you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, you were once a dead, ungodly, corrupt sinner, a rebel against God who only deserved his wrath because we were at enmity against him. So what joy should fill our hearts that God Almighty purposed to send His Son and that He died. When Jesus died, He knew about all of our sins. He knew every personal transgression that Tom Ross would ever commit, and He willingly embraced and took all of my sins on His body. The shame, the guilt, the pain, the wrath of God poured out on Him while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Died in our stead. That kind of love ought to cause us to every day be filled with joy, with thanksgiving. There ought to be joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ because of His atoning work. It ought to be something that should fill our hearts daily with worship and wonder and praise and exaltation and joy. Our joy is bound up in Jesus Christ. Tonight we gather not to worship the elements that are only symbolic. We don't gather to worship the unleavened bread and the wine. They are just used to remind us that Christ died for us. That He bore our sins in His body on the tree, that He gave His life's blood so that we could be, we who were enemies, would be reconciled to God, brought back into His favor, and accepted in the Beloved, complete in Christ, completely, fully, entirely justified, acquitted of all the wickedness of our past. This is what we have in Jesus Christ. And it's why we ought to be joyful in our God. He died for us as our substitute. Have you ever considered how many sins you've committed? Can you even begin to number the volume of sins that have existed in your life? I can't. I don't even know all the sins that I've committed. And it horrifies me that I have rebelled against a holy God. But you know Jesus, He knows every single sin and every transgression and every iniquity that I have ever committed, because every one of those sins were charged to Him, were imputed to Him. The sins that I cannot even count as one individual, Jesus Christ went to the cross bearing the full weight of them for me. And not just for me, but consider all the people who have ever been saved and who will ever be saved. Jesus bore their sins in His body on the tree. What a magnitude of love we find in Jesus Christ. His name is worthy to be exalted because He took the sin and the sin debt and the guilt and the punishment of all of His people and was willing to have the justice of God and the wrath of God poured out upon Him. He died for His enemies, for sinners. He didn't die for good people. He didn't die for profitable people. He died for transgressors who would never be able to pay back what it cost Him to purchase us. When I consider what Jesus was willing to do for me, there ought to be so much joy in my heart knowing that somebody loves me with that kind of love that is sacrificial and so giving. He surrendered everything. He gave Himself for our sins. And because of it, we're justified by His blood. His sacrificial blood. Not any ordinary blood. This is the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice that can cleanse us from all sin. That's why it's called precious blood. We're redeemed with His precious blood. He gave His life, His blood, His all, in order to give me something I could never obtain on my own. His blood secured the righteousness that I needed to stand before a holy God. He imputed to me the very righteousness of God. So that now I'm justified from all the transgressions I've committed, all of the laws that I have broken, all of the sins. Jesus put them all away by His blood. And now I stand before Him completely justified, accepted by God, no longer an enemy, but now a friend. No longer estranged from God. Now I have access to God. I'm reconciled to God. I'm saved by the perfect life and the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. This is why I can pillow my head tonight with absolute assurance that I have peace with God. I'm not worthy of it. I deserve His wrath. But the Bible says, and I lay claim to the truth, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the joy is. It's through His work. We have access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I had no hope for the future. Now I know no matter what happens to me, if I die tonight, I rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm going to see the one who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm going to go into the very presence of God. And no matter what trouble comes my way, I'm justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. No matter what trial may come, I know that my great high priest is touched with the feeling of my infirmities, and He loves me and cares about me and cherishes me. He bought me with His blood. Oh, how much joy should we have? We've been given this gift of grace without any of our merit. It's been given to us freely. Not one work is necessary. No money. He said, come. You don't have any money? Come to me. And I'll give you what you need. The very righteousness of God. This gift of grace. Verse 17 describes it. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You think about what that says. We receive the abundance of grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. The unmerited favor of God showered upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, as you consider what you were and what Christ has done for you, what His Spirit is doing in you and the hope of glory that yet awaits you. I pray that our hearts would, as we partake of the bread and the wine, and we remember our Lord, I pray that our hearts would be filled with joy and that we'll serve Him with joy. This has been a burden on my heart. Do we really delight in Him? Are we joyful in our God? Do we love Him more than anyone, more than anything? Oh, that God tonight would work in our hearts and impress upon us the joy of the Lord and what we have in Jesus Christ. The members go and to the middle.